Whatever the means adopted, you must at last return to the Self. So why not abide as the Self here and now? What is not permanent is not worth striving for. You are the Self. You are already that. Meditation is your true nature. You call it meditation now because there are thoughts distracting you. When these thoughts are dispelled, you will remain alone in the state free from thoughts, and that is your real nature.
During the mid part of the 20th century, a steady stream of visitors traveled to the ancient land of Tamil Nadu in the southern region of India to experience the remarkable presence and clear teachings of Sri Ramana Maharshi. The Maharshi's name needs little introduction, for then, as now, seekers who wish to awaken from the powerful illusion of the ego and abide in the perfect peace of their true nature have turned to his teachings. There was a spontaneous simplicity and humility about him, a sense of universal equality and heart-melting love. His actions were natural and spontaneous and reflected a life that was fully identified with the one consciousness, the Self in all beings. Carl Jung had planned to visit the Maharshi, but for various reasons never made it. Jung writes about Ramana, "What we find in the life and teachings of Sri Ramana is the purest of India, with its breath of world-liberated and liberating humanity. It is a chant of millenniums. In India, he is the whitest spot in a white space." Born in 1879 to pious parents, the child was named Venkataraman. Aside from several auspicious indications surrounding his birth, there were few specific signs that the young boy's destiny would take a spiritual turn. When he was only 16 years old, attending high school in the city of Madurai in the South Indian state of Tamil Nadu, he had a remarkable experience of death, which led to a permanent awakening to the deathless spirit. Arriving at the sacred hill Arunachala, he spent the next 54 years either on its slopes or foothills. People from all over the world came to sit in his presence, which had the profound effect of quieting the mind and providing glimpses of the perfect peace, which is our natural state. The Maharshi's teachings are uniquely suited to modern life and provide for a clear and balanced synthesis of head and heart. He was not concerned with theory or philosophical discussion. Rather, he consistently guided the seeker back to the source of real being with its theoretical basis in Advaita or non-duality. Ramana taught that we exist as the Supreme Self at all times. We need only awaken to this reality by seeking the source of the ego or I thought, and abide in the Self that we always are. He referred to this method as self-inquiry. The path of self-inquiry frees one from the unceasing fear and turmoil resulting from taking the ego to be real. By becoming free of the ego illusion, one experiences true freedom and supreme peace. It is this path that takes one from the apparent duality of the individual and the world to the bliss of one's real nature. Through this awakening to self-awareness, even by imperfect glimpses, one begins to sense a reality not confined to the ego's world. And this current of awareness is ultimately revealed as the self, pure consciousness. The Maharshi generally taught in silence, and the sincere seeker would often experience a silent influence in the heart. Verbal expression of the silence was always given freely to all and frequently combined with humor and laughter. While his physical presence was overwhelming and his majesty and beauty indescribable, he remained completely natural, simple, unassuming, and wholly unaffected. Join me as we explore the life and teachings of Ramana Maharshi and turn back to the source of abiding happiness, the source in which all questions and doubts resolve themselves, in the awareness of our true self.
I'm glad that we have this opportunity to meet together for the purpose of exploring the teachings of Ramana Maharshi. The Maharshi's teachings represent a unique way for the seekers to directly experience true peace and happiness. Ramana says, happiness is inherent in man and is not due to external causes. One must realize his self in order to open the store of unalloyed happiness. All spiritual scriptures are meant to make man retrace his steps to his original source. He need not gain anything new. He must only give up his false ideas and useless accretions. Instead of doing it, he tries to catch hold of something strange and mysterious, because he believes that his happiness lies elsewhere. You impose limitations on your true nature of infinite being and then weep that you are but a finite creature. Then you take up this or that practice to transcend the non-existent limitations. But if your practice itself assumes the existence of the limitations, how can it help you to transcend them?